Hey man, so you remember last week how I had that extra plan B?
Yes, I do remember.
So I put it to use this past weekend during wasn't during Valentine's Day, but it was during Valentine's Day weekend, obviously. So now I'm out of ammo and I have nothing left to use, and so I have to be very, very careful now. Let me hold the mic close so I make sure the whole world hears me as I light this dragon's blood incense.
Dragon's blood incense?
Yes, sir. Dragon's blood incense.
Does it smell like Game of Thrones?
Smells like it
Close enough.
to
I like it.
So yeah, I've made a pact with myself that I will start using condoms.
Oh, that's a big moment for you.
I gotta play it safe, man.
I
Especially if
mean, it's the right way to
I'm
go.
going. Sometimes when you dip your steak into a salt brine.
Oh my God.
You gotta make sure the salt contents and all the flavorings inside of that brine are what you want. And you're better safe than sorry, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just gonna wrap my steak up, wrap that tomahawk bone up, and just absorb the flavors I can. And if I don't like it, I don't like it.
I think you somehow ruined salt and brines for me in the same sentence. That was wild. I can never hear the word brine again the same way.
Hey, but brines, that's the way to go. When you want intense, deep flavor, that's the way to go.
What are we talking about? Not the deep flavor.
I chose those words methodically.
Oh. And yet I'm somehow hungry now. Weird.
Weird. And you know
So
what?
weird.
I'm gonna make a steak after we finish this, just to let
See?
you know. And I do have one salt brining right now, so.
Wow. That's probably where you got that shit from, too. You're like, you know what? It's a meat metaphor. I could do something with this.
That is absolutely right. And just to be safe,
Oh,
I'm gonna turn up my mic a little bit. All right, it's almost to the max. I don't want it maxed.
there, now you got the bass in your voice a little bit.
All right, volume a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Last week you were like talking like this over here. And I was like, what the fuck is he saying? So the editing of that last episode, for any fan that heard that, if I sound like I'm screaming and this guy sounded like he was in a tunnel somewhere, it's his fault, just so you know.
It wasn't on
Oh
accident.
no, you had your hands full that whole episode between visitors and between your microphone issues. I mean, yeah, it made a lot of sense.
I forgot about the visitors. Yeah.
Well, that was the first part of
That
that
was
plan
the whole
B
point of
story.
the start of the story. And
Exactly.
yeah.
Oh my God. You used both shots in 2 weekends. That's a pretty full Black History Month you're having so far there.
Whoa.
Oh,
I
it
mean,
seems it's in celebration, I'm assuming. That's how our ancestors did it. So, I get it. It's solidarity.
I just thought it was so funny how you said it's been a full Black History Month for you,
Yep. That's
knowing
awesome.
damn well my partners have been.
Oh, trust me, I know your flavor, sir. That is on purpose. We are well aware that you like, your chocolate a little dark. So that's a good thing. So happy Black History Month to you too, sir. It doesn't
Oh
mean just because
man.
you're not black doesn't mean you can't celebrate it. So
Oh
congratulations.
man. Happy Black History Month, man.
Clearly, you're doing your part.
I'm trying. Apparently I'm not by creating these mixed babies, but at least I got the plan B to back me up, so.
I would see people. I'm not gonna get into a whole thing about it. For the people who think like strengthening the bloodline and stuff, I'm like, we could use a little Asian culture and the bloodlines of African Americans. We go back centuries, bro. So
You're the Asiatics?
exactly. That's what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's real history there. So I'm all about it. Do your part, sir. Do your part.
Yeah.
You know I'm not doing my part. I married a white girl. So
I mean, but she's doing her part.
oh, absolutely. Yes. It's a team effort.
You
It's a
see?
team effort. Yes. See, it's a sympathizer. I mean, it was our anniversary weekend, so I would say she definitely
How was
has
it, sir?
served her country well.
She did her
Oh my,
part
yes.
in abolishing slavery for sure.
Justice was served over and over and over again. It was a great weekend in Chicago with the wife. It was, we got down there before the snow hit. For those of you who don't live in Midwest America like we do, it's been cold as a motherfucker. That's why I'm wearing this stupid hat, just to prove my head. I have a haircut now, so I'm pretty bald. So I can feel the negative 20 degrees on every square inch of my fucking dome up here. So, yeah, we got down there before the snow hit and the frigid temperatures set in. Really nice hotel. Got like 19 floors up, so we had a beautiful view of downtown Chicago. Perfect. Ooh. Oh, man. And the snow wasn't like sticking because, you know, it's all concrete down there anyway. So, like, you get the nice big snowflakes. Very picturesque. Very romantic.
Yeah.
So it was just the two of us just reconnecting, had the pool to ourselves. Finally got a warm pool, no hot tub, which is ridiculous. I'm getting sick of these hotels screwing me out of getting the hot tub because I've been trying to last like six fucking hotels. Oh, we have a hot tub. We get there, it's broken. Or we get there and it's cold as fucking ice. Or we get there and we had it a month ago and then we paved over it and made a fucking racquetball court. Something stupid. So I really wanted a hot tub. Didn't get it this time, but the pool was nice and warm and it had a great view. Like enclosed glass and stuff, so you could see. We're pretty much on a rooftop pool looking over the city. So that was.
Hey, you gotta text me what hotel you stayed at.
Oh, I got plenty of hotel tips, sir.
I think I'm about to make my way out there for a little mission.
Okay, missions are fun. Yes. Chicago's a great mission city. It's plenty to do.
And I could use your expertise because I've yet to explore the city of Chicago, as weird as that sounds.
That's very weird. I mean,
yeah,
it's a sister to Detroit, but damn, that's, you got to get down there. That's a place where you can go for one or two days and see a shit ton of stuff. So it's cheap. I shouldn't say cheap. It's affordable.
Right.
You show a little, if you want a nice experience, you know, show a little bit, but if you don't mind slumming it, hey, Chicago's your kind of place too. So it's for everybody. Chicago's a place for everybody. Just, you know, stay out of Chinatown. That's where I got robbed. That's a different story, though.
I might be safe there. They might think I'm one of them.
You might be okay. Yeah, man, I was like, nope. They saw my ass coming. So, yeah, we were there for a comedy show. I mentioned we had to go see Taylor Tomlinson at the Chicago Theater. And that was a fantastic show. We were cracking up. We're a big fan of her. We watch her show after midnight on Paramount every fucking night. Bunch of comedians on there doing improv jokes and shit. So great time. Her openers were fantastic too. And the Chicago Theater is gorgeous. That was actually my first time going to that place. So wow, like immaculate architecture. I could sit there for days and take pictures of it. But yeah, man, just after the hubbub of Christmas and New Year's and that fucking furnace incident we had and shit, like just, it's nice, man. Just reconnecting, getting back as a couple, getting back on the same page. And I mean, the hotel was really nice. I would say, and I've mentioned it before, I usually rate hotels on a 5-star scale, but the only way you get the 5th star is if you have one thing, and that's the Game Show Network. Now, this hotel did not, so there's automatic loss of a star. I do it every single time. If you don't have GSN, number one, you're never getting 5 stars from me. More people need it. I can explain why I love GSN so much for days, but just know if you have a hotel and your ass doesn't show up for that package, pause, I'm going to be upset for a solid 5 minutes. We made the most of it, though. And here's some bonus points, too. We were enjoying greenery treats. You know, Illinois is a legal state. Lovely time. And we're in the hotel. We're looking for something to watch. And they have a thing where you can connect your Netflix to the TV. And I said, okay, well, you know, we'll just watch something that we're already watching. And we're scrolling through and shit. And this woman, again, white as powdered snow, she goes out of nowhere, you know what? I could watch Martin right now.
Put that shit on right now.
I said, Martin Lawrence? Martin? Martin? I'm like, do you know what Martin is? She goes, yeah, I could watch that. Man, we watched that shit all weekend. All weekend. She was hooked on it. I was like, what happened? How do we get here? We're watching Martin. And I'm just like, this is the best ever. She's cracking up as much as I was.
Fucking
that's a fantastic
Martin
show. Right. Yes. Of all shows. Oh, my God. I'm like, talk about a hit. So that made just the weekend just so much even nicer. Like,
so y'all watched Martin and Gina.
Yep.
During Valentine's Day weekend, while
I know, right?
On the medicine, while on the medicine.
Yes.
Man.
Or it's a pizza, dude.
Chicago style.
Well, a lot of people think that's that deep dish shit.
No. There's a difference.
I like, This, yes, I like that Chicago Tavern pizza, but the way there it's supposed to be.
Okay.
That's the good shit. Shout out to Robert's Pizza out there. That shit was banging, bro. So, yeah.
Wait, did you get it with like the pepperonis or like curled up?
You know what? Straight cheese.
Straight cheese? You know what? I am mad at that.
Got
cheese
some wings.
Pizza low-key slaps so
Thank
hard.
You. Especially if it's done right. If it's done right,
yes,
that's all you need. That's all you need. So mm-hmm. We got that and some wings. We were set, bro. But yeah, man, that shit. My biggest thing from watching Martin was like how much shit went over my head. I watched that shit when I was like 9, 10 years old. That's a raunchy ass for like a network TV show. That's a raunchy ass show, bro.
I put it on one night while I was trying to go to sleep and I couldn't go to sleep because I was laughing so fucking hard because I did not know this show was that funny, cracking those type of jokes.
Yes. Oh my God. Like adult jokes, but the fucking roasting is top notch. Especially you mentioned Martin and Pam. Oh my God, man. They used to just destroy each other on a moment's notice, man. So yeah, I couldn't do it. We had to turn this shit off. I was like, I gotta go to sleep. It's like 3 in the morning. But that shit was wild. I'm like, I used to watch this as a kid and I didn't know half the jokes they were making. I'm watching it now. I'm like, he gonna be making Gina climb up the walls and shit. I said, that's what you meant. Okay, I get it now. Shit. And then that made me kind of go back because, you know, we watch stuff with the kids. I'm trying to show them, you know, things from my childhood that I watch. You know, they watch Full House and all the shows that I tried to watch in the 90s. Right now, I think I mentioned before, we're in the middle of Family Matters. And I said, you know, they're learning about Urkel and stuff. They fucking love Urkel. Oh, my God. Now Sid's got this big-ass crush on Stefan Urkel. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Fuck. She literally passes down the floor. She would kill me if I told you guys that. But anyway. But even that show, like, there's certain episode, like, descriptions I'll read it ahead of time. And I go, oh, shit. This one's about sex. I really, like, you have to be careful with, like, how they approach things. It's always wholesome. But my thing is, like, then I got to answer questions. Imagine your 11-year-old son going up to you and because something he saw on that Carl Winslow said, and he'll go, Dad, what's a hooker? And I go, how do I explain what a hooker is to an 11-year-old who is, you've met him, the most innocent kid you'll ever meet? How, if you had my shoes and the dad hat like I have now, how would you explain to your 11-year-old son what a hooker is?
All right, hold up. See, it's a little different for me because I can drive 3 blocks down the block around the corner and point one out.
That's very true. Visual aids.
So I can have a visual aid and teach him while showing him in person exactly what a hooker is. And that's what I would do. And I would explain to them what they do for a living.
How? But how would you explain that? Like, explain to me like I'm 11.
All right. So I'll be like, okay, look, CJ, let's hop in the car real quick. Let's go for a ride. I'll show you what a hooker is. All right. I'll answer your question.
Okay.
Pull up. I'll drive to like maybe like 12th and North.
It points out the actual street. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll drive to 12th and North, and I'll just post up right by that Checkers and be like, all right.
Oh, I know the one.
So you see that Masonic building right there, right across the street from the YMCA? Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lady. She might have some crazy colored hair. She's going to stand out there. She's going to look a little crazy because it's the wintertime, and she's not going to have a coat on, or a big coat for that matter. You see her?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, now what she's going to do is what we call a business transaction. This is where she does these favors for other men, but these men will pay her for these favors.
What kind of favors? Like mowing their lawn?
No, for these favors, like what grown folks do. You know,
paint their houses.
When you really feel something towards a girl, when you really like that girl and you think she's really pretty, and you want to have a special connection with her,
you buy her flowers.
You see, I ain't going to sugarcoat it. You stick your...
Just going to remove this part to save what little cred we have. Don't mind me.
Now you see the dilemma, sir. You see
just cut straight to it. Fuck this shit, all right?
Wow. It's easy to say it now. It's easy for you to sit in that room and go, I'm just going to tell him exactly what it is. But again, imagine he looks like a Disney character like my son does with those giant puppy dog eyes. And you have to explain that profession. without scarring him for life. It's impossible. It's impossible. So what do? I read those descriptions ahead of time and I just skip the fucking episode. We'll get there. I'm not trying to shelter anybody. But man, if it's almost bedtime, I ain't got the time or the mental capacity to try to unravel that fucking Rubik's Cube and save his soul at the same time. I just can't do it. I don't have the capacity yet. So easy for Wait, you has, to say.
Has this happened before?
This happened today, an hour ago. That's why I'm asking.
Wait, so what did you actually do?
I told him to finish his dinner.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the fake friends.
I said, don't worry about it.
He said, "Now it's a hooker. Finish your dinner."
All right. That's verbatim. That's pretty much what it went to. Do I feel bad about it? Yes. Can I do anything about it? Later on down the line. I need 7 to 10 business days, bro. Let me get the plan. No, let me prepare. I'll get a slideshow, but just
when Sophie turns like 21, I'm going to be like, when you asked your dad what a hooker was, let's go find you one.
You would be that one. You're going to be weird. No,
not a hooker. Not a hooker. I would be the type to like take him to a strip club.
I knew it.
But I would not like buy him a hooker. I would not do that.
Uncle Ryan took me to a strip club. Did you learn something? Yeah. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah. I never want to go back. That's exactly what you need to learn.
That's the right lesson, son.
Yes.
It took me one time too. And I said, I'm good.
Yes. That's exactly how I went twice. So twice. Whatever.
It's
without. Yeah.
It ain't for me, but y'all fellas have fun. And ladies, everybody and have ladies. Fun. Yes, everybody have fun. And we have fun here on the Bank Bro Show. My name is Siege, your humble host. That guy is Rizzy. And we just love being here for you. We love that you're taking the time out of your day or your night or your late night even. That's even better. Mm. Just to spend some time with your boys here. So, yes, NBA All-Star Weekend has come and gone. Pause. And Rizzy's got some feelings about it. And it's going to make us have a long discussion about the NBA today. And I'm very interested in a lot of the opinions that this man is prepared for. But Rizzy, why don't you start us off and just let us know how you felt about NBA All-Star Weekend now that it is finished up and no one seemed to notice or cared.
You know, I want to start off by saying this about NBA All-Star Weekend. NBA All-Star Weekend holds a special place in my heart. Because as a child growing up in the early 2000s, born in the late 90s, there was always that notion that, you know, football, NFL normally dominates the airwaves, dominates viewership. The NBA had an opportunity to take advantage of the platform and put on a spectacle for the viewers and to gain more viewers. And they did the complete opposite. This was an utter failure. And I'm not talking about the skills competition with Chris Paul trying to cheat with Victor Wembanyama. I thought that was funny as shit. That's I thought that hilarious. Was cool as fuck.
Somebody had to do it.
Somebody had to do it. And you know what? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right. Eddie Guerrero, baby.
And then the dunk contest and the three-point competition. Honestly, I was fine with both of them. They weren't terrible. They weren't the greatest. Again, my thing is, with the NBA three-point competition, you have to ask three-point shooters, Adam Silver, why is Cade Cunningham in the three-point competition? Cade Cunningham isn't even the best three-point shooter on his fucking team. Malik Beasley is second in the league and made threes this year and didn't even compete. I don't even know if he got an invite. My point is, put people in places where they deserve to be. All right. Don't put shooters in the dunk contest and don't put dunkers in the three-point shooting contest. Other than that, it was fine. And the dunk contest, anytime you got people arguing about who won, it's a pretty good competition, in my opinion. Moving on to the game, this is where it was complete trash, all right? And we need to talk about the way the NBA formatted this game. I want to first talk about the Rising Stars. Why the fuck are the Rising Stars on the same court as all NBA All-Stars? I'm not saying don't recognize these Rising Stars. All I'm saying is they deserve their time and their day, And then you save the main event for the main course and all of the all-stars, you know, the people that all these fans paid hard money to come and see. Mm-hmm. You know, the all-star tickets ain't cheap. You got to pay for your flight. You got to pay for your ticket. You got to pay for food. All that shit. In the Bay? Yeah, that shit's expensive. And I want to touch on the draft before I get to what actually happened. The draft was fucking rigged. If they wanted to do this, they should have just set these fucking teams up instead of having these three puppets, using them as puppets, and Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck. Just fucking draft your teams, Adam Silver, and place them, your teams that you wanted to see play, under an arena for the world to see. Now, let me get to Kevin Hart. This was the most awkward form of comedy I've ever seen in my life. And for those people like myself who have said all along that Kevin Hart is the most overrated comedian of all time, this goes to show you Kevin Hart is the most overrated comedian of all time. You replace him with Cat Williams. You replace him with Dave fucking Chappelle, and you got a masterpiece. Mm. But my biggest problem isn't actually with Kevin Hart. Again, this goes back to the format. Did you know that there was only 42 minutes of actual basketball gameplay?
Oof.
And there was 80, count them, 80 minutes of ads and other things not relating to a basketball game where basketball is actually being played.
Wow.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the NBA, your product is the game of basketball, right?
It's in the name.
And this is All-Star Weekend, where you have the greatest players in the game of basketball voted by fans and coaches and executives under the same roof to put on a spectacle for the world to see. And you give us 80 minutes of ads.
80 minutes of ass.
And that includes Mr. Beast filming content for his fucking YouTube channel.
So sick of it.
The NBA, so Adam Silver, y'all that down bad where you have to have a YouTuber. Stop in the middle of a game, mind you. This isn't even halftime. This is a middle of a game. Players are warmed up. Do you understand the dangers of players going out there after being cold again, after warming up?
Whew.
They could have popped an ACL. They could have twisted an ankle, something. And this is during All-Star Weekend where dudes are already trying to put, you know, a little, they're trying to take their foot off the gas pedal a little bit so they don't end up hurting themselves. This is complete and utter ridiculousness, especially when you have these games going up to a 40-point total. Mm. 40. You Travesty. Understand that one player can score 40 points. And you understand that 40 points can be scored in less than 12 minutes of a traditional basketball game in the regular season here in the NBA. In today's game. Not back in the 90s. No, not in the 80s and 90s. They would have scored like 20.
Right.
But in today's game, 40 points is nothing. So when you have games running 10 minutes, 7 minutes, that bullshit, like, come on. We have first, and this is who I feel bad for when it comes to these short game formats. The first time All-Stars.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Especially when they lost early in the garbage formatted tournament, single elimination tournament. Mm. Like, you have a player like Cade Cunningham, who played 7 minutes, and that's his only experience as an All-Star. You could say the same about Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and Jalen Williams. Like, I think it's unfair for those cats because they don't have the opportunity to actually play against the best of the best. Like, I think we need to go back to, you know, it doesn't even have to be East versus West. When it was Team KD versus Team LeBron, the highest voted player on the East versus the highest voted player on the West, and you pick teams just like backyard basketball, just like what we did on the schoolyard, like, that's what we need to go back to. You take it back to 2020, like, I understand we were a month removed from Kobe Bryant passing away during that time. Stakes were higher, but guess what? You tell me if I'm wrong. Those players played their fucking asses off. Kyle Lowry was out there taking charges. Kemba Walker played damn near 48 minutes of game time, it felt like. Fucking Joel Embiid was hosting up for the game. Like, when the fuck have you ever heard of an All-Star big in today's era post up in the All-Star game on a game-deciding possession? Like, the problem is not the players in today's product. The problem is the format. Draymond Green came out during inside the NBA before the actual All-Star game. He came out on TNT and he said, this shit is going to be trash. And as he said that, I looked at my phone in tears because I had just texted my favorite sucker, can you come after I watch this game? And he was absolutely 1,000% correct. This was a complete failure by the NBA. Adam Silver, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because you got, I can only imagine what it's like to be a casual fan and how turned off you were by watching this shit.
Hi.
I would be on TikTok. I would be on my YouTube shorts ASAP if I was a fucking casual fan watching this shit. Oh, listening to all these garbage stand-up comedian jokes by Kevin Hart. Like, what the fuck you got going on, Adam Silver, man? I don't know what the fuck this was. And I'm completely ashamed of being a basketball fan today.
Wow. And I'm so glad that that's how you ended all of that, because it does lead me to my next few points I wanted to make and ask you about. So if you talk about old heads like me, old heads like Oscar Robertson, who came right at Draymond and just said, clap back, because Draymond doesn't do shit but pass a step anyway. So, of course, he's bored. That shit was hilarious. But for the casuals, the old heads, the people like me who've fallen off, I look at ratings and things like that, and I go, it's not just me. And you and I have gone round and round this carousel on the show for the last almost 2 years, and I know it's always come down to the same debate of, like, the old days versus the new days and LeBron versus Kobe and Jordan and all that shit. But outside of the recent, like, 5% ratings bump, due to LeBron and Luka being on the same team for the first time, that gave people a little bit of excitement. But NBA ratings have been dramatically down this year compared to last year, almost as far as 28%. I mean, that's crazy. That was only a couple of months ago they were that low. So my question to you is, like, coming from a casual and an old head who hasn't watched real basketball, you know, haven't given real time committed to it, do you think there's a correlation between the NBA ratings declining and the evolution in the game itself? We talked about how Steph changed the game forever with 3 points. So an old head or a casual like me tunes into the NBA and sees none but threes. Everyone's waiting on the outside of the arc. There's some, of course, not, it's not a everybody situation, but for the most part, a casual just sees kick out three, kick out three, kick out three. And we kind of go, it's kind of old and predictable now. So do you think there's a correlation between the style of the NBA today and the way the ratings are going?
Yes and no. I think the style of today's play negatively impacts today's ratings only because of what you said. Because every team in the league is playing the same way, essentially. Drive, kick, open threes. That's essentially, for the most part, all you see if you're a casual fan.
Yes.
Yeah, because you know what I'm saying? If you turn on any, I'm pretty sure if you're a casual fan, I'm just going to safely make the assumption you only watch primetime games.
Yes, that's fair.
And the teams that are on primetime, all of them play the exact same way. You're not going to see the fucking Detroit Pistons on primetime. You're not going to see these Miami Heat on primetime. You're not going to see the Memphis Grizzlies on primetime as much. Mm. Like those teams that I named, they have that quote unquote old school style of grit and grind style of play where they don't necessarily have I can't say that about the Pistons anymore, but they don't have like a household name, you know what I mean? Yes. On their team, but they have a group of guys that just play together and as a unit offensively and defensively. So I would say because the NBA only puts a handful of teams on display for these primetime games where casual fans take the time out of their day to actually tune in to, because they don't watch games that are on League Pass. They don't stream the Pistons versus the Hornets on a random Tuesday night like me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're not going to see all the styles of play. And I think the styles of play of the teams that the NBA likes to promote, they all play the same. And that's right. The issue. I think the issue is with the NBA and the way the NBA pushes out its product. And that kind of goes back to what I said about the All-Star game. But it does not help that 90 to close to 100% of the league tries to play like they're the 2016 Golden State Warriors.
Every single one of them. It's like, damn.
But, I mean, I will say this, though. It's like a lot of times these old heads talk about how basically there's no balance in the league when it comes to style of play, right? Am I wrong?
That's what it feels like.
My question is, so are you upset as an old head that the balance has shifted completely the other way? Because back in the 80s and 90s, the game was never balanced. The game was played inside, inside. So from my understanding, because there's no more post-ups, because people aren't just putting their head down and driving hard right, because people know how to shoot now, the product is bad?
I wouldn't say, A, I wouldn't say upset, and B, I wouldn't say bad. I would say not committed to the product because it's become more predictable. Not bad.
But my thing is the NBA back then was predictable as well, because you got dudes that ignore their left hand, never use it. Michael Jordan is a prime example. That's a right-handed bandit right there. I got film to prove it. Watch that when he dropped 62 against the Boston Celtics. Every one of his shot was on the right side of the court. And when he went left, even if it was a layup, he went back up with the right hand.
That's right. So, it's not for me. It's not. And I'm not speaking on behalf of all casuals, of course. For me, I'm not upset or anything that it's gone like completely offensively. Because, of course, people want to see great shots and three-pointers are always exciting. For me, you know, I'm a Libra. I'm all about balance. I'm a Bears fan. I'm always thinking defense first anyway. So, like, I haven't had the luxury of having a lot of teams I root for that are offensive juggernauts, quote unquote. So, for me, it is a lack of balance. I think it has swung too far one way. But it's, like you said, I don't think it's the NBA's fault. I think when you have someone, and I keep pointing out Steph as if he's the problem, but he's not. He's a cheat code. When you have a transformative player like Steph, who has literally changed the game at its core to what everyone tries to make as a template now, it's just, it's been like this for a long time now. So where I'm starting to even look at my teams going like, okay, these aren't even exciting teams to watch. Why am I even rooting for the Bulls anymore? When you're talking about the Pistons and a team that's, you know, hungry and grizzly and works in the paint and has that old school mentality, that makes a casual like me almost just want to change teams to watch the kind of basketball I want to watch, not so much the team I want to stay loyal to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So you just, what I'm hearing from you is you just prefer
basketball.
No. You, because it's still basketball when you're creating perimeter shots.
Of course.
But you prefer the game to be played inside the arc.
Not all the time, just more. That's what I grew up watching.
So did you watch basketball in the late 2000s and the early 2010s?
That's like probably what I fell
2015?
Off. I would say as soon as Jordan was gone, I was pretty much gone.
See, then you missed the greatest era of basketball. So I'm going to challenge you and every other old head to go watch basketball games played in the span of 2008 to 2015.
Mm-hmm. And when I say like stopped watching, like I was still watching games. But like when it comes to like me tuning in, checking my schedule, making sure I'm watching a team the way I do with the Bears, Jordan days was the end of it. You know,
it's kind of different with football because it's one day.
Of course. And that's another thing I would say is, as a casual, if because there's so many games, I have the same problem with baseball too. There's so many games, it doesn't feel like if you miss one, not a big deal. Whereas with football, there's only 17 games. Every game is do or die, essentially, which makes it dramatic even for the bad teams. You could be a Cleveland Browns fan, but Sunday, you're still screaming your head off at them. So, like, that's a me problem, is I think there's just too many fucking games for me to care as much for those. But I could see if I was somebody who, A, was even good at basketball, I would probably care a lot more about each and every game and the stats and the players and everything. So that's where I go. I am a casual more than I am an old head. I'm just somehow both sometimes. but that's what it comes down to, is I am looking for just the style of basketball I want to watch and not so much adhering to a team.
And then my retort to that is you're not working hard enough to find that. It's as simple as
that's
that.
That's for sure. I just needed some convincing.
And that's my retort for everyone else. Like, I can try to convince you all I want. My way to convince you, to actually convince you, is to sit down and watch a basketball game with you. Not just you, but like anyone, any old head who does not like this era of basketball or has quote unquote fallen off because of the style of play. But if you've fallen off, that means you haven't watched any basketball, which means you have no knowledge of today's game.
Right. Which is why I go to you.
which is what baffles me about these old heads, because these old heads have so many opinions about today's basketball. They don't even watch today's basketball. They can't even tell you how they guard pick and rolls. Like, okay, I'll ask you. How did they guard pick and rolls when Jordan was playing? How did the Celtics guard a Jordan pick and roll?
Muscle.
Pure. How much of that is skill? Muscle. How much of that is skill?
I was going to say, the skill part wasn't even like, it was just
out the window. Wall. Exactly.
Brick walls.
The only way you defended Jordan back in the day is if you fouled him.
Yeah.
Or you played, the correct answer was actually complete drop coverage with no switching.
Oh, see.
See, nice that was the correct answer. In today's era, you cannot play like that. Mm. You got fourth and fifth scoring options on teams. You got Keegan Murray. I'll name a couple. You got guys like Keegan Murray. You got guys like Klay Thompson. You got guys like Malik Beasley. You got guys like, who else can hit a shot? OG Anunoby from your New York Knicks. If you play drop coverage on them, that's a spray in your eye.
Pause.
That's a close your eyes, take the ball out. That shit is net.
Yikes.
Like, you are not playing that way. You are not going to play that way and be successful against today's players. Mm. The skill level is night and day. It's not even close. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to product. Like, the skill level, the talent that we see, the style of play, the creative schemes we get nowadays. No longer are we seeing three fucking dudes in the paint. One dude with the ball. The dude with the ball's defender. His defender is all the way in the paint because he knows he's not going to shoot that fucking shot. And there's one dude running around trying to get open and hopefully make a shot around the free throw line or some bullshit like that.
I can picture it. That's exactly how I went.
That's exactly how it was. And again, I'll make this argument too. Everyone back in the day played that same exact way.
That's a fair point.
The same issues these old heads are complaining about today's game, not the exact issues, but the principles of those issues are the exact principles that they glorified in the quote unquote golden era of basketball. That wasn't no fucking golden era of basketball. The golden era of basketball is what we're living through right now. All this talent, all this skill. We've seen, we now have players in the league that know how to dribble with their left hand. That shit is crazy. We now have players in the league that know how to finger roll with their left hand. That shit is fucking crazy. I know it's hard to believe.
You got guys like
Kyrie Irving. Oh my God. If you drop Kyrie Irving back in the 90s, they lose their shit. Oh my God.
That's true.
Oh my God. You drop LeBron James in the 80s. Oh my Lord. You drop Kevin Durant in the 80s. Oh my God. A 7-footer, Hezzy pulling, twin Hezzy pull. What 7-footer was doing that in the 80s and 90s? Short answer, none.
It's a short answer. None.
Short answer.
Wow. That's a. I knew the lefty was going to come back into play again, too. I'm like, he's not doing the left hand.
It's so basic, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I'm not talking to ladies and gentlemen. Coaches, if y'all hear me, do you or do you not teach left hand dribbling in fucking grade school? I learned this shit in middle school. That's why I always bring this shit up. If I can dribble with my fucking left hand, why couldn't these dudes in the 80s and 90s do it? Because I could have been in the league. I'm losing all respect for the 80s and 90s.
He's like eating his microphone, people. He's so passionate about it. That's all it sounds like.
That is true.
Oh, man. Oh, I believe like, you.
Let me flip this and put this in a perspective in other sports. Football wise, imagine a quarterback that doesn't know how to progress to his third read.
Ooh, that's a little too close to home.
imagine a fighter, a boxer who refuses to jab.
Ooh, can't do that.
That's the equivalent of not having a left hand in basketball.
So Michael Jordan did all of that without using a jab.
You know why? Because he was superiorly athletic compared to everyone else. He was just gifted with something nobody else had in that era. Name me another player that had the same level of athleticism as Michael Jordan.
There isn't any.
No, you could. No, I'll give you one. You can say Clyde.
Okay. Fine, Clyde. I was going to say.
You can say Clyde.
Okay. If I'm being fair, sure.
Yeah.
Other than that, there really wasn't much.
And I'll be honest with you, too. That was fucking it.
Yeah.
That was it. Nobody was jumping like Jordan back in the day. It was just him. Now you go look at the NBA combine and you tell me how many players got 38, 40, 42 inch verticals.
Yeah. Let me ask you this then. You talk about how the old head, the age that's considered the golden age, not the golden age, outside of just basketball. Because I look back at that age, and I don't think about just the game itself. The game itself was amazing, sure. But it was everything outside of the game itself. It was the Space Jam, the video games, the Looney Tunes, the Wheaties boxes. And I'm not saying that today's athletes don't get the same kind of treatment. But if you look at the 90s and how athletes in the NBA were, like, propped up, like gods in every form of media, everywhere. Mm-hmm. You couldn't see them anywhere you walked. They were all over the fucking place. What's the disconnect? You look at the NBA All-Star game back then, the dunk contest back then, versus the shit you talk about today with the All-Stars, and you have, as you say, much more skilled superstars in the NBA all over the place now. Mm-hmm. What's the disconnect? Why aren't we getting the same kind of marketing? Not that I want more ads. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted, folks. But the creativity of the Nickelodeon, Slime, mm-hmm. MTV, all that shit, it doesn't feel like we have the same for this crop of superstars. Mm-hmm. What's the problem? It's hard for people to say that wasn't the golden age and this is, when it seems the footprint of the NBA was so much grander back in the 90s than it is today. Is it just because it's been there longer and it's kind of worn off a bit?
No, I think that's interesting that you brought that up, because for one, I think that's why people around your age are so adamant that Jordan is the GOAT. It's because of the way he was promoted. It's because of the way the media pushed him out. And I get that.
I mean, we grew up with a song that said, I want to be like Mike. Like,
exactly.
That shit
rent
free up here, you know? That was years ago.
And I get it. And to answer your question, I think the biggest disconnect there has to do with there's just so many other more distractions that kids these days have that you guys didn't have.
That's a good point.
You know, we got YouTube, we got Twitch, we got social media in general.
Yeah.
There's so many hats that kids could just put their hands in and just get a taste of, like, you know, let me try this out. Let me try that out.
Yeah.
And honestly, athletes don't hold the same superhero weight they once had in the past. And I think that's because of social media too. And it's allowed the athletes to humanize themselves with not just the younger audience, but people in general.
Mm.
You know, I hear stories all the time of people talking about Michael Jordan, even people talking about Kobe,
mm-hmm.
and like how they just have that aura around them.
Yes.
And it they don't seem real. I don't think anyone my age, I'll give you an example, because I actually know someone who knows a lot of professional athletes. I can tell you right now, he does not get starstruck. He knows they are just like us. He lives out in Atlanta, and he's actually making me an Amon Ross St. Brown rug.
Damn. That's
so
dope.
Yeah. So shout out to my boy Mar. And so it's just, I think people my age are just viewing not just the athlete, but the celebrity in a different light. People my age and younger.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what the big disconnect is. And I think the NBA is stuck to this old school way of thinking. They're stuck in their ways of trying to promote these players the way they think they should be promoted. And then when the NBA tries to catch up to modern day times, they're so out of date that they completely miss the mark when they try to do something exciting, like having Kevin Hart out there during the All-Star game.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, honestly, they, in my opinion, if they want to appeal to the younger audience, you got to take advantage of streamers like Kai Cenat or iShow Speed or Speed or NRG or Your Age or people like that, and not fucking Kevin Hart and Mr. Beast, because Mr. Beast is a completely different audience than NBA fans, especially NBA fans as children. I'm pretty sure those kids are watching more Kai Cenat and Speed.
Yeah, I'm familiar with these guys.
Mr. Beast. So,
I see them everywhere.
So I think this sounds so terrible to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think when Adam Silver resigns, I'll keep it there. I won't go as dark as where I wanted to go. But when he resigns and we get a younger commissioner at the chair, I think that's when things are really going to start to turn around for the NBA as far as marketing goes.
I don't think Adam Silver ever played basketball, did he?
No, and David Stern never did either.
Yeah, see a problem there. But I love that you use the word superhero. That resonated with me because you're absolutely right. I definitely revered NBA players like superheroes. That's literally how they were portrayed. I had a Jordan poster on my wall that was him, like, He was flying through the air and he had the Superman cape on. I had the fucking iconic Charles Barkley and Godzilla over New York City fucking poster in my room. That shit is iconic. So you're absolutely right. The larger than life presence is shattered. And these are just real people because we have so much access to their lives to humanize them. That was, I think, a really valid point there. I never really considered that before.
Yeah, because, the only time you would ever hear about Jordan, if it's not on the news station, it's in the paper.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't have, there was no Instagram. There was no Facebook.
Nope. You didn't know what he was doing. He had a rich house. He had a family. Right. And you didn't know. He moved in silence until you saw him on the court.
And you compare that to today, where we know exactly when LeBron's going to have tacos.
Like, exactly.
You know, yes. Like, it's just such a big difference. Like, imagine if we knew every casino Michael Jordan was ever at.
Oh my God. That's
Crazy. You know how many people be lined up outside of that casino?
Ridiculous.
Like, if he was still in his prime and, you know what I'm saying, the era was like it was today. Oh my God.
Yes. My God. Absolutely. I wouldn't even want to be an athlete at that point.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But that does make a valid point that I'm going to actually think on, resonate on, because
I think that's really it.
I've never considered that.
If you look at it, I always bring this up because I always talk about the actual product. I always keep the main thing with me. The product is always going to be the game of basketball. So I always talk about the game of basketball, and I'm always bring this up, and I'm going to end on this point. Mm-hmm. We have the most skilled players the world has ever seen, and these players are not the issue. I know we'd like to, I know, and I'm not going to say we, but I know old heads like to talk about the level of competitiveness, loss of that competitive nature. Nobody wants to defend. They need to come to the grips of reality and realize, like, you can't guard a 7-footer named Kevin Durant, tween tween hezzy pulling. There's just no way you can defend that. And there's no way you can defend a fat boy named Luka Doncic, step back three. You can't do shit, but you just got to hope he misses. And sometimes you have to realize that when there's a great offensive player, when there's a great basketball player on the court, you can't stop that. And you just got to marvel at that. It's not that players aren't trying. All right. You think that player would be in the NBA if he didn't try to play defense?
Fair point.
So I say that to say these players are too skilled. And when they say there's no defense being played, that's just complimenting the offensive players of today's game.
Mm, that's very true. But you speak of the All-Star game and highlighting these superstars and everything. Clearly, this is a bust when it comes to this past All-Star weekend. But an idea was mentioned by multiple athletes in the NBA that they should consider doing a 1v1 competition as part of All-Star weekend. So I just want to know what you think about that, and B, how would you run it? Who would you want to see if they did that? Because it sounds like it's got some traction, maybe a little smoke to this fire. So if they do go the 1v1, who are some matchups you want to see? And yeah, how would you even run this thing to make it successful so we're not getting just lazy-ass basketball, even in a 1v1 setting?
Yeah, so obviously, I would still have an East versus West style of format with this. And let me explain how that's going to work. So there's going to be, I'm assuming it's just going to be the All-Stars, right? So you're going to take the 12 All-Stars from the Eastern team, have them randomly draw their seedings 1 through 12. You're going to take the 12 All-Stars from the Western Conference team and do the same thing, have them draw random seedings 1 through 12. And then you'll have one from the East play 12 from the West and knock it down like that. And however the tournament plays out is how it plays out. It's going to be a double elimination, a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket. Games up to 11. Ones and twos, no make it, take it. Oh, no. Make it, take it.
Make it, take it. Okay.
Make it, take it.
Yeah.
And the seeding will be, it'll be live. It'll be a live broadcast right before the games. And then it'll just be, what I'm saying? It's just a straight up ball. Roll the balls out one-on-one up to 11. You know what it is. We at the park. And then there's going to be a prize. I can't think of a cool prize because you can't give rich people money because it's nothing to them. I don't know what the prize is going to be, but there's going to be a prize.
Make it money. Just make it like $1 million.
Nah, man, because it's like it's nothing to them.
I know. That's the thing.
It's got to be something worthwhile. Like,
what do you do? Like,
man, I don't know. I really don't know.
Like, but I don't think there's much they can play for that's going to make them the same effort.
I would have it based. I would have prizes based on the city.
Okay. What do you mean?
So
the Sixers get cheesesteaks.
shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I was going to say, so in Milwaukee, if you win, you either get a fucking something beer related or you get a fucking Harley.
Mm.
Yeah. Or in
custom Harley.
You win in Detroit, you get a Mustang.
Okay. I mean, it's still some things shit. That I can buy easily, you know?
So yeah, it's like, but it's like, I don't want the prize to be money, though.
Well, sure. I'm just, again, what else can you give them that they don't already have or can't buy themselves,
you know,
that will make them get you a real competition?
It would have to be something relating to the NBA season.
I think
like
so.
Like a perk they get for the season or something for their Hall of Fame bid.
Mm, okay. It has more weight to the
maybe
win.
Maybe you automatically get a first place vote for something like that.
Ooh.
Or NBA all first team, all NBA first team or something like that.
Automatic one. Okay. I like automatic, that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that, but then it'd be tough, right? Because what if Tyler Hero wins it?
Well, give him an opponent. That makes them earn that shit. And that's why I want to know what I'm saying? You want to see.
Like, but you know what I'm saying? You know? But if you win it, you earned it type shit, like you said. So
right. Just don't
I think that would be fair, actually. I think a first place vote, an automatic first place vote for all NBA first team would be fair.
I think I like that a lot. It's something that's important to them, but it's not monetary or substantial, you know, something right. They can grab or touch, you know, but they would play for that.
Because, you know, if – that's actually, wow, Ryan, that's a great idea because that helps their Hall of Fame bid.
Yep.
That also helps their cash flow because what if there's stipulations in their contract where if you get a first place vote, you get X amount of dollars because there is stuff like that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And then what if that vote is the vote to push them over the top to get that first place?
Woo!
Then you got all first team. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's cooking.
It could trickle down to be something very worthwhile in the long run.
Yes. I like that idea a lot. Send it to Silver.
Now, who would you place in this tournament, though? So, I think the first player everyone wants to see is Kevin Durant. He has to be in this tournament.
Of course
he
does.
It's one-on-one. He has to be in this tournament.
But who would you put him against? Now, I'm not saying the entire tournament. Just some matchups you want to see.
Okay,
who
just random
Durant
matchups.
Play? Just random matchups.
I want to see – now, I'm a little selfish for this.
Of course.
I want to see Kevin Durant versus Russell Westbrook.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say Cade. But that's way more hilarious.
Give me that. Give me LeBron versus hold on. Who did he? No, it was Russ too. Russ got beef with everybody.
Damn, you just want Russ on his beef tour, huh?
let me leave him out. I want to see Dame versus Steph.
Okay.
Dame versus Steph would be fire. I want to see Shea versus Ant.
Ooh, I almost wrote that one down. I gave Shea a different one. But Ant was one of my first ideas. I was like, ooh.
Shea versus Ant would be lit.
I feel like Shea would bust his ass, though. But that's just me. Like, go on.
My thing is, whoever has the ball first is probably going to win.
Good point.
If loser does not get ball, whoever gets the ball first is probably going to win that matchup. Because, man, I think those two dudes are the epitome of today's era, where they can do everything on the basketball court. Like, actually everything. They can play in the post. I bring that up because apparently players don't play in the post anymore. They can play in the post, and guess what? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander only averages 1 3-pointers made per game.
That's crazy.
And he averages 30.
Right. What the hell?
So what does that tell you about a shot profile? I don't know. You tell me, old head.
Not you, but just in general. Folks, y'all didn't see it, but he made direct eye contact on that shit.
Yeah, I was looking at the camera. I wasn't coming at you. I wasn't coming at you. Because I know, like, you're an old head, but you don't have old head tendencies.
And if I do, I'm trying to destroy them. That's all. I like to keep my mind open.
Yeah. But let me think of another. I'm trying to think of some. I want to see Cade Cunningham versus Jalen Green.
Ooh.
Because they got beef.
Oh, do they? Oh,
they
shit.
I wouldn't call it beef, but they have. This is another thing old heads complain about. These dudes have been competing against each other at the highest level since high school. I'm talking about this was 1 and 2 players ranked in high school. And guess what? They came out in the NBA. There were players 1 and 2 drafted in the NBA.
Mm.
And look at today. One of them's an all-star. The other one is damn near a borderline all-star, but he plays in the West. So he's not going to be an all-star. Right. If he was in the East, he's definitely an all-star. And I'm talking about Jalen Green. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are just some matchups I want to see. Jokic versus Luka Doncic would be pretty funny.
That would be kind of dope. I'm not going to lie.
They wouldn't be able to guard each other.
Awesome. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Just loafing around both of them and also hitting shots for no reason.
Yeah, just super skilled, but also not athletic.
No, walking down the court, but then half court shots. That'd be wild. I got a few I wrote down. One, I want to see Steph Curry versus Kyrie.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's a must for me. It's a must.
You know why I didn't say that one? Mm. It's because Kyrie already busts his ass in the finals.
I know. So one-on-one. I got to see that shit.
We didn't pick winners, but one-on-one, I might pick Kyrie Irving as my winner in my one-on-one.
I actually think I would, too. That's the thing. Like, Steph, we know he's a sharpshooter, but Kyrie can do it all.
That's a different level of, like, because when we talk about one-on-one, it's you versus everyone.
Right.
Fuck that. It's you against everybody. So,
yes.
All your tools, and Kyrie's got all the tools.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, I think Kyrie actually takes that one. But for SGA, for Shea, I said, and I'm going to put a caveat, I know the height difference is crazy, but like you say every single time, styles make fights. I have SGA and Ja Morant. That's just me.
See, that's not a big height difference.
Well, it's like 4 inches, though. So
No, Ja's like 6'3", and then Shea's like 6'5", or 6'6".
I thought Shea was like 6'6", and Ja was like 6'2". That's what I was like.
Even that's not bad.
It's not bad, but I'm just like, I think that's.
I thought you were going to say like KD. No, that's bad.
No. I have KD with somebody else though. KD, I want to see him against Wimby.
I knew it.
I have to.
Long arm bandits.
Exactly. That's like ultimate offense versus ultimate defense. Like, oh man, that'd be fun. Giants going at
who would,
it.
Who would win that matchup? In your opinion,
I would go KD. Experience alone, I think, just gets him over the top. It's not that Wimby wouldn't give him the fucking nightmare of his everything, but KD, I think, all around player, all around experience, championship pedigree. Like, KD's been here, man.
You know,
Wimby
think,
is great, though.
I think a lot of people don't know this about Kevin Durant, but scouting him for 2007, what's this, 18 years now, Kevin Durant does way better against taller defenders than he does shorter defenders. If you want to be able to guard Kevin Durant, put a Marcus Smart on him. Put a Tony Allen on him.
Ah.
Put somebody like that on him.
That would be crazy. I have one more that I wrote down, but I have visuals for this. Because I'm like, ooh. I know exactly how I would film this shit. You talk about marketing and like making things more dramatic and getting people involved, getting the casuals in. So I have LeBron written down, but who I want him to face is Jason Tatum. But here's why. Because we talked last season when the Boston Celtics were on a fucking tear, and we said, Jason Tatum, is he like the next face of the NBA? And we talked about how there's multiple faces of the NBA, but Tatum could be one of them. So my thing is this, if we're doing 1v1, and some of y'all think that Tatum is the future of this entire organization, prove it. Take it from LeBron. Make LeBron like have to pass the crown down to you. And I know exactly how I'd film it. You have a cameraman just following Tatum down a dark hallway. And then he walks into just an open, empty basketball arena. And then all of a sudden, the fog sits in right along the ground. And then you hear this shit. And Tatum's like, what the fuck is that? Then all of a sudden, the arena starts catching on fire. And Tatum's like, what the fuck? Where'd this fire come from? And out of nowhere. Descends from the rafters. And Jason Tatum has to finish him off once and for all. Just like that.
Respect. That shit was some 2K17 trailer type shit. That's
exactly
up.
How. And then they play one-on-one, and you make Jason Tatum have to earn that fucking right to be called the face of the NBA.
You know, I'll do you one better, actually.
First, you have Final Boss music.
First, you have Jason Tatum play Jaylen Brown.
Then you have the gatekeepers.
Like who runs the organization? Actually, who's the best player on that team? Actually, is it Jaylen Brown or is it Jason Tatum?
Oh, okay. So you have to like in Mortal Kombat, where you have to like face yourself, and then you have to face like Shao Kahn or something. So like you need your gatekeepers, your Goros, your Motaros, your Kintaros,
your Shivas.
Get the gatekeeper, then make them fight LeBron. I love it. See, you can make that into anything,
man.
LeBron, that's how you get casuals.
Yes.
To watch.
LeBron gets a first round by his old ass, and he'll just play the winner. Yeah.
Exactly. Boom.
Bingo.
It's perfect. So, yes, I like that. There'd be a lot of one-on-one matches they can make to bring a casual fan back in. So
Who'd you put Giannis against?
Ooh. Honestly, you're going to think I'm stupid about it. Dame. I would love to see it. It's not that I think Dame would ever fucking chance at this point. But
really?
Honestly, Giannis is still, to me, that damn good. I'm not disrespecting Lillard.
I think Dame cooks him.
You think so, huh?
One-on-one, I think Dame cooks him. I think Giannis would be a bad one-on-one player.
See? That's why I kind of want to see it. That would be interesting, because I feel like body type, play style, Giannis should be able to stuff Lillard with that shit. But Lillard's got the experience, too. I don't know.
He's crafty.
He's smooth with his handling like that.
Deep range.
I don't know. That's the thing. I know Giannis couldn't hit the three on him, but like, is it a foregone conclusion? That's why I'm like, there's some curiosity to that matchup, I think. So I mean, this shit like that makes no sense on paper, but might make for an interesting game.
I would actually like to see Giannis play Wemby. I think that'd be a better matchup than KD.
And
now, that KD and Russ
saying.
Shit, I was just fucking around.
I mean, I see it though. But I was gonna say Wemby, but I'm like, that's of course you put the towers against each other. Like, cool. I like matchups that you don't necessarily think about that might intrigue a casual like me. So it's easy to say, you know, Giannis and Wemby, but give Giannis somebody who would give him some problems and he has to work hard against. That's what I want to see. But make
Porzingis.
Giannis there you go. Put his working boots on. Porzingis would be interesting.
Very interesting. I think that'd be a great matchup.
There you go.
But you say Tatum, I would put Kevin Durant up against Jason Tatum.
See, that'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. We'll see what happens afterwards. I feel a one-on-one or even like USA versus the world, like they were talking about before, like something needs to spice up the All-Star game. It's been like this for a while.
I don't want to see this USA versus world anymore. I really don't.
Something different. I mean, they tried something different this time, and
I want to see flat. LeBron and Jokic on the same team. Like, I want to see that shit. I want to see Kevin Durant play with Shea. Like, yeah, I want to see these teams integrate, and just like I want to see society integrate. I don't want to see this fucking segregated basketball being played ever again, unless it's the Olympics.
Oh, okay, fair point. That's a fair point. So there's got to be something they can do. Hopefully. They'll do something to spice things up because, my God, I can't. It's the same with the Pro Bowl, too. It's just like either do something interesting or just give them the week off.
I thought the NBA was bad with this, but then you reminded me about the Pro Bowl. I forgot that was even a thing.
God, that's practically flag football and a fucking ham sandwich. Like,
no, hey, they play with flags now. So
I know.
At least they did that.
That's one thing. But then again, who the fuck is tuning in for flag football? Like,
man, you know, speaking of which. I remember Sean Taylor laid a punter out in the Pro Bowl once.
Old head football. See?
He wasn't even that old. It was during my era. It was 2000, like it was 2007 or something like that.
Good for you for not considering that to be old. I appreciate that because I was just fresh out of high school almost after that. So,
I appreciate that.
Well, there you go. See, I appreciate that. Let's move on because we got a game I want to play because I have been in the TikTok rabbit hole forever now. It's my go-to for laughter in a stupid world full of stupid people who make stupid decisions on other people's behalf. So along the lines of TikTok, I sent you a couple of these videos that have been intriguing me. And we talk about sports, and this man and I have a shared love of all things Pokemon. We've been talking about that since day one. So on TikTok is a trend where people are literally having random Pokemon generated for them, and they fill out an NBA lineup, an NFL lineup, so on and so forth. So I want to do the same thing since we're both Pokemon masters. Let's use this generator and fill out some fantasy lineups for, I actually have one for NBA and for NFL. And we'll just kind of see how they compare, because that's fucking fun and things we like to do. All for right. For the NBA teams, I'm just going to do straight point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, six man.
Okay. Just
classic
starting
position.
Five and a six. Okay.
Starting five and a six.
All right. You know what? I owe us some shots, actually. We actually completely skipped over it, which is cool.
Oh, my God.
Which is cool. Let's just keep rolling. But, yeah, I don't have any shot glasses, but I'll finish the rest of this bottle.
Sounds good. I've been over here drinking regardless, so just keep drinking,
I know
sir.
You are. I've been talking, so yeah.
No, I feel you. But thank you for the integrity. That man is making sure that bets are paid on the Bank Bro Show. But let's get started. Just so you know about the settings, because I am not going to be putting these weak-ass Scarlet and Violet New Age Pokemon bullshits on here. I think when it comes to old heads in Pokemon, you and I are the same. We appreciate the classics, a little more newer stuff, but just so you know, I'm only doing the first seven regions, not Unova and Kalos and Alola and all this bullshit.
Let's get it.
Stick to Pokemon we know.
Let's get it.
We'll go from there. I will let you start. And again, I'm just generating one click for a Pokemon. You tell me what position you want to put them in. Pause.
All right. All right. All right. Doggy is not going to be one of them.
Boom. And then he gets a dog. Starting with Delibird.
Delibird, ice, six man. End of the bench, might not even play, man. Looks like we're gonna be a we're gonna lack depth on this team
already. All right, coming up next is
one rock throw. That thing is dead. Oh,
Venonat, birds and bugs so far.
Venonat,
you psychic.
I should just put you at center.
He's like the smallest dude.
Yo.
Oh my God. Short.
Venonat, you are going to be my shooting guard. All right. I don't want you touching the ball.
Just distract him.
just play defense. All right. You're going to be 3 and D. Straight right. 3 and D.
There you go. Okay. Next up. Oops. Chimecho. Wow. This is the weakest fucking team I've ever seen.
Oh my God, bro.
Wow.
I don't want you touching the ball either. You could be small forward. All right. You 3 and D also. You a cone. All right. You a cone.
He said, just stand there and don't move your feet.
Stay in front.
Stay in front. Oh man.
I need a shot at point guard. That.
I bet you do. Your next one is Swinub. Oh my God.
Yeah, we might as well pack this in and call us the 2023-2024 Detroit Pistons right now.
Wow. Just lazy and slow. Oh.
Ice type. Swinub, you can play power forward, man.
I knew that's where I was going.
I have no idea what you're going to do for this team, but you can play power forward only because I need you to.
You got some lazy asses on this team. And next you get Totodile.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Totodile, you are going to have the ball at all times. All right. Do not pass this ball to any of your fucking garbage ass teammates. The playbook is Totodile 1-4 flat. All right.
This short ass dinosaur arms, he's going to be shooting, huh?
Hey, Totodile's fast, man.
He's fast. He's definitely fast. Fastest one on your team. Which means your center is
Snorlax.
Oh, Sceptile.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this girl is going to be amazing.
Wow. Yes.
Sceptile.
All day.
You are going to be my perfect Anthony Davis power forward center hybrid. You're going to be handling the ball, shooting mid-range jump shots, posting up, sometimes shooting threes in the pick and roll, catching lobs. Sceptile, come on the squad, baby. Pause.
Wow. Oop. Damn. That was a nice last two, but the rest of that two, I'm sorry. So point guard, you got Totodile. Shooting guard's Benenat. Small forward is Chimeco. Power forward, Swinub. Sept out the center, Delibird off the bench.
Delibird gonna stay on the bench. Fuck you, mean?
Yeah.
Actually, Delibird could probably come in for Chimeco.
I mean, he's got like the bag of goodies, so I mean, there could be some tricks that you need. I don't even know.
What I'm saying? His bag might be deep. You know what I'm saying? He might be on Green. You don't know,
right? He brings the bag with him, so yeah. maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, we gonna see, man. But man, okay. your team got to be better than mine.
I don't know. You could be surprised how worse it can get. Let's start with Flygon. Oh, okay, I love
that
it already.
Oh my god,
I'm loving it already. Woo.
Man, what you?
Oh, you know what? I'm putting a point guard. Fuck it. He can just fly to the fucking basket.
Point guard.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He
got to
shoot. Okay. He just fly his way there. Love it. Didn't say he got a dribble. Torkoal's next. Oh,
that's not bad.
It's not bad at all. But I'm like, ooh, I love the defense. I think, I kind of want to put him in power forward. Honestly,
that's not bad.
Yeah,
I would have put him at center.
I was thinking about it, but he's small. He's real small. So I'm like,
that's cool, bro. He could be like a Draymond Green and a small lineup.
Dude, back to Draymond all the time. I mean, but yeah, literally trip over his ass, but you don't break a fucking foot.
Power forward?
I'm believing power forward. He's tough as fuck. So
power forward.
Tropius. Oh man, that's my center right there. Tropius is gigantic. Wemby sized.
So your team. I got a bunch of guards on my team.
Got the fucking towers of power over here, man.
Whoa.
Then I get Sharpedo. Okay. I'll take it. I love it.
That's like a perfect shooting guard.
I was literally going to put him a shooting guard. That's why I'm like, I can't ask for anything better than that. Oh, my goodness.
Gentlemen
generate. Well, I still have a six man, too, and a small forward. Kangler. Oh.
Not bad. Shit. Not bad.
Yeah. I kind of want him at six man though, but he's humongous.
I would put him at six man because he's versatile.
Yeah, he played a lot of positions. Yeah, I'm going six man with Kingler. So my small four will be Pupitar.
Hey, you talk about defense.
I mean, it's all defense, really.
All he knows is Harden.
Literally, that's all he's got to do. Well, he's got some Sandstorm too. You got some.
Sandstorm. No, he knows moves. I'm just talking shit.
Got some moves.
you know the second evolution is always like the ugly one.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Because he evolves into fucking Tyranitar.
Exactly. He's a beast, you know. So I know the kind of heart he's got. So I'll take that shit on the court any day. So, yeah, man, I got Flygon, Sharpedo, point guard and shooting guard, respectively. Small forward is Pupitar. Power forward at Torko. Center is Tropius. Six man is Kingler.
You cooked.
I'm loving it. Loving it.
I'm taking a shot for that because my team will get cooked.
Well, I'm giving you one more chance here because I want you to set an NFL lineup too.
All right. We doing offense or defense?
I'm going to do full offense. QB, but we're doing some fantasy. So QB, RB 1 and 2, wide receiver 1 through 3.
Okay.
Tight end.
Mm-hmm. And
fill the offensive line.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. This is going to be fun. Wide receiver, tight end. And then 5-0 line?
5-0 line.
Okay.
But we're gonna alternate picks this time.
Okay, fair enough.
Just one on one. No, not the snake. Just one on one.
Yep.
All right, you start first, sir.
All right, there give me go. Something good.
Bay leaf.
Ooh, you know what? Bay leaf would be a good tight end. Let me put Bay leaf at tight end.
Interesting. I thought for sure he's going to the line.
No, I think Bay leaf has enough athleticism to do stuff on the perimeter and also be an inline blocker.
I feel that. Okay. I'm selecting Cricketune. Okay. Mm. You know what? Cricketune could be my tight end.
Mm.
Tall, pause. Long arms.
Mm, ooh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Pause a little bit. But yes.
Okay.
Not bad at all. Just put it up. He'll grab it. All right. You get Alakazam.
Alakazam.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, this is going to be my quarterback.
Yeah, as it should be.
Alakazam is going to be my quarterback. Every ball is going to be perfectly placed.
Yep. Literally. Oh, my God. Lucky motherfucker. Okay.
That's my Lamar Jackson for me.
It really is, though.
Yeah.
Fuck. I get not to. Oh, man.
One rock throw, you're dead.
Oh my God. That fucking sucks. You know what? I'm gonna make him. He has no arms and no legs, but he is psychic
and flying
and barely flying. I'm gonna make him a wide receiver three. Just a three. Just a three.
Hey, not bad. A slot receiver, not bad.
Yes, like that's the only place he's gonna fucking work here. God, he's gonna miss it every time, too. Your next one is Celio.
Okay, that is going to be a lineman for sure. Celio looks like a guard. So he'll be one of my guards.
Doesn't matter which one.
Left guard.
Left guard, Celio. I'd put him on the line, too. It's a lot of meat.
Awesome.
I know. I just keep walking into these now. Fuck. Next one is Tyranitar for me. Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, you know what? Put his ass right at center. Pause.
Center. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My QB won't even be able to look over him. That's how huge that motherfucker is. But watch no one ever fucking touch my quarterback. That's all I'm saying. Next one you get is Porygon. Interesting.
Porygon. Porygon knows his move or knows moves like a barrier and reflect and things like that. Mm-hmm. So Porygon is going to play right tackle for me.
Interesting. He's rock solid, so I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Okay. My next one will be Apom.
Not bad.
Okay.
I know exactly where to put him.
See, I'm going to say wide receiver two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would have done running back.
I was thinking about it because he is fast, but he's got that tail that can grab shit too, which means he's got three hands to grab.
So. That's true.
He's a monkey, so he can use his feet too. So
I see you.
Talk about
you mean he has hands as feet. He has hands as feet.
That's right. His tail's a hand. His feet are hands. His hands are hands. Shit. Mm. 5-2 a player, boy.
Not bad.
All right. You get Meowth, your boy.
Meowth. This guy's gonna play running back. He'll be my RB two. He'll be RB two. Okay. He'll be the change of pace back. Maybe third downs.
Third downs. Okay. I like it. Let's get Tyranitar again. Gastrodon for me. That motherfucker's going in the line. I could say he'll be my left guard.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sticky, solid player. Lots of beef to him.
Mm.
Also, I think he's a little poisonous too, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe he's a water type. Yes. Going on. You get Vibrava.
This ain't bad at all. You are going to be playing. Hold up. Where can I use him? Let's see. Slot. No. Vibrava. Very fast. I'm going to use him like Jameson Williams to take the top off of defenses. So he could play wide receiver too.
Okay.
So he'll be like my Z.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I'm going to pick something called a Wormadam. What the fuck?
Oof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oof.
What the fuck even is that thing?
Oh, man. Is that supposed to be like a worm, but then it kind of looks like a fox?
I would imagine it's some kind of bug. Yikes.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't know what the fuck that thing is, but I'm assuming it's a bug. So, yikes. I'm going to put him at... he could be RB2. Fuck it. I don't know what he can do, but it makes him a wild card. So he doesn't have to get the ball a lot, just a change of pace shit. So maybe he'll fit there, but nowhere else. you get Kakuna.
Kakuna. Damn, this one kind of sucks.
Yikes.
Kakuna, I'll put Kakuna at a, Harden, but he's just really, he's short.
He doesn't move.
Doesn't move, man. Just snap the ball for me, bro. You can play center.
It just nudges it back towards you. There you go.
Yep, that's it, man. Don't even block, bro. Just snap it.
Right. Just snap it. I'm going to get Steelix. Oh, fuck yeah. Woof. Let's throw him. You know what? Ooh. I'm putting a running back one. Fuck it. Try to stop him. Put the ball in his mouth and try to stop him. Pause.
Okay. Steelix. Yep. Running back.
Like a Derrick Henry type. Just right through.
Tall ass running back. Okay.
Yes. Boom. You get Pelipper.
Oh. All right, so Pelipper's kind of tanky, so I kind of want to use him on the line. But at the same time, Pelipper's kind of athletic. You know what? Left tackle. Pelipper can play left tackle.
Interesting.
I need an athletic left tackle for those edge rushers. You do,
especially with the rest of that lineup looking like that. Need some athleticism on that line.
Yeah, but yeah, go ahead.
Kakuna. I mean, yeah, you know.
Kakuna's the only one. Yeah, Kakuna lost cause.
Oh, Waylord.
Waylord. Ooh.
Yeah, right guard. Let's go. Get past this line.
Waylord.
My goodness. This line's going to be, like, unstoppable. Your ass gets Psyduck.
Psyduck, my guy.
Oh, man.
Psyduck, my boy. Psyduck. Psyduck is going to play. Psyduck wouldn't be bad, actually. Psyduck is just a little bit of a dumbass.
A little bit?
Yeah. Psyduck, you can play running back one.
Wow. I was not sure where you were going with that one.
Yeah, no, I have an idea. I'm going to use him kind of like a Shane Vereen, kind of like a James White, you know, where you like throw passes to him, screens, halfback toss, stretch outside zone plays, stuff like that.
But then he runs the opposite direction.
That's when he can go right to the bench and I put in the out.
Psyduck and Meowth. Fucking Sonic and Knuckles.
Amazing running back duel.
Right. Next up, I get Goldeen. Oh, fuck.
That's even better.
Fucking hell.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I can't mess up my... Oh, man. My fucking positions left are not going to make this good. I was building such a great offensive line. Oh, man. She's so useless to this shit.
Yep. Go ahead. You're talking about Kakuna.
Fuck.
Oh, you got a fish out of water.
You know what? I got this. Goldeen is my quarterback.
Oh, man. Good luck with no arms.
You know why? I'm going to explain why later.
All you're going to do is run the ball.
Spoiled it. She's going to be my Rex Grossman, bro. She's got to show up.
She's your Ryan Tannehill. Yep. So Felix being fucking Derrick Henry.
Exactly. I just show up, bro. Give it to Matt Forte and just get the fuck out of the way.
Just say hike.
That's it. Okay. Here we go. A few left. You get Hoot Hoot.
Now Hoot Hoot can definitely play my last offensive line position. Guard.
Yikes.
Right guard. Hoot Hoot.
Hoot Hoot. My next one will be Lunatone. I like it. Lunatone can go right tackle. Rock and Psychic. Again, make it this. Goldeen will never get touched. Goldeen will be Tom Brady because she is just going to never have a grass stain on that jersey with this offensive line. You get Whooper.
Well, whoop. Not bad. Slot. Yeah, you can play slot.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's all you can do. Oh, man. All you have left is your wide receiver one, the face of your franchise other than your quarterback.
It better be Charizard.
Dude, that'd be crazy. My next one is Roselia. Oh, God. She has flowers for hands, man. I can't make her a receiver. There goes my offensive line. She can be left tackle, but Jesus Christ. We're going to have to go to the right all the fucking time. Every fucking time.
Wait, what is she playing?
Left tackle. Oh, I can't make her wide receiver one. I have his wide receiver one and left tackle. She has flowers for hands. I can't make her my best receiver.
Well,
I just can't.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I got Hoot Hoot at right guard. So
Hoot Hoot. Here we go. Who our wide receiver ones are to finish these lineups. You get Machop.
Hey, I'm cool with that. Let's go, Machop.
Not bad.
Let's fucking go, Machop. Wide receiver one. Machop and Alakazam. Let's fucking go.
Damn. Pure muscle wide receiver. DK Metcalf.
No. This is Amon Ross St. Brown.
Fucking short. Because he's short.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
DK would have been like Machamp.
That's a good point. Yes. Fuck. I'm so nervous to push this button for my wide receiver one. It's going to be.
I think you should switch that dude and Roselia right now.
I can't do it. That's not how the game works. I got Dunsparce, who is the laziest little bug I've ever seen in my life.
So your receiver has no hands. Your quarterback has no hands.
We are running it all day long. All day long.
This is going to be a direct snap.
Somehow I just made this to 2005 Bears. I don't know how I did it, but it happened. great offensive line, great running backs, no skill receivers, no skill positions at all. Hand the ball off and get the fuck out the way. Wow. Wow. So my team with Jimmy Clausen at quarterback, Goldine, Steelix running back one with Wormadam. That'd be good to change the pace. Wide receivers are done sparse. A-Pom is going to be a fucking superstar, Alshon Jeffrey. And not two at three. My God, my receiver core is shit. But this line is not bad at all. Cricket two to tight end. And then left tackle Roselia, sorry. But left guard, Gastrodon. Center is Tyranitar. Waylord at right guard. Lunatar at right tackle. I still think no one's getting past unless you go to left side. And you ended up with a pretty fucking good team. Alakazam, a quarterback. Psyduck is running back one, which is hilarious. Meow to play cleanup at running back two. But then receivers, Machop, Vibrava, and Wooper. A lot of speed. A little muscle. Like it.
Wooper's the only one.
Wooper's the only one, really. Bailey for tight end, I think, is underrated.
Solid. That's
a very solid move. I like that a lot. Pelipper at left tackle. Celio left guard. Kakuna at center. Solid. Your quarterback's getting smoked. Hootoot at right guard. He's definitely getting smoked. And Porygon at right tackle. So you got a nice crater to that quarterback.
You forgot Alakazam knows teleport. Zoop. Gone.
Damn.
Gone. I got Alaka Lamar Jackson at quarterback. I'm good, bro.
Alaka Lamar Jackson. Oh my God. Okay, that was not fair. It was very fair, but motherfucker, I think you rallied for your team. My team just started out hot. It just, fell apart.
Honestly,
got too cocky.
That Alakazam pick just put my team over the top. It was just Alakazam, really.
Changed the whole fortunes of your franchise right there.
Completely, man. And him at quarterback is just a match made in heaven.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that shit was fun. I like the concepts of that shit. Pokemon, if you don't even know Pokemon, people, number one, play a fucking game.
Oh, my God.
It's so fucking fun.
You've been living under a rock.
My God, but play the fucking game and then you understand why these depth charts are very fucking fun to even consider. And I hope they make a real game out of that shit one of these days, because why the fuck not? Give us some more content, NBA, NFL, Pokemon. We want it all.
it was fun.
It is time for the 2-minute drill, but I do know that I have to set you up for this particular 2-minute drill. There's been some heat after one particular quarterback, former quarterback, made some comments, and we talk about changing the fortunes of a franchise. No one knows that better than Cam Newton about changing the future of a franchise that drafted him number one when he entered the league. And there are reasons that teams are at that position to draft superstar players like Cam Newton himself. But he Very made true. Some comments about that process and the first season and the mentality that he was experiencing in the locker room that I want you to hear live.
All right. I've never seen this clip before. This will be my first live reaction to it. Let's get it.
When I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers.
How did you handle the pressure of being the top pick?
Let's put it in perspective. You're the top pick because what?
Where you play.
No. You're looking at it from a personal situation. I'm talking about from the professional situation. You're the top pick because that was the worst team in the NFL the year before. Mm-hmm. For me, I wanted to be the number one pick. You could potentially be the first pick, but bro, you have no way of impacting the game like a quarterback does. You can lock down the number one receiver. You can make impact plays on offense all you want, but it's still not like a quarterback. My issue is when I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers. Guys didn't know how to win. Guys didn't know how to prepare. It was a culture shock for me. The games don't mean a lot to a lot of people in the league like you would expect. It's just money. Not everybody has capabilities to be impact players. They're just players.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, sir?
What Cam Newton just did there was educate the young man, Travis Hunter, about the business side of the NFL. Mm. He is trying to make Travis Hunter aware of things that he is going to experience, but maybe unaware of right now, because Travis Hunter is just so in love with the game of football. Everything Cam Newton said there was pro sports in its totality. Doesn't even have to deal just with the NFL. He said something very interesting. He said, the game ain't, I don't remember it verbatim, but he said the game, I don't know if he said the game isn't the game to some people or something along those lines, where the game doesn't mean as much to some people.
He's saying for some people, they're just players. They're not there because they love football. This is just the job to them.
This is what they do as a job. This is just them clocking in and out. And that's all it is. And Cam Newton also mentioned the fact that Travis Hunter will never be able to impact the game like a quarterback does as a lockdown corner, if he is a lockdown corner, whether he makes splash plays on offense or not. He's not going to be able to turn around the entire franchise because he does not play the quarterback position. It's just a fact. It is what it is. And Cam Newton has seen things in the NFL that I can't say that, but Cam Newton has done things in the NFL that that Travis Hunter is dreaming of doing, right? Mm. And so if I'm Travis Hunter, I'm taking everything he says to heart, and I'm going to make sure that wherever I go, whether I'm 1, 5, or 10, like, it doesn't matter. I just want to go to the right team and the right organization. Because if I don't, I'm going to end up just like Cam, where I'm a great player, maybe great individual accolades, never won anything meaningful. And as soon as the team got a chance, as soon as I wasn't an asset to the team no more, as soon as I slightly fell off of my prime, they're going to end up cutting me. I'm out of there and my career is done. So if I'm Travis Hunter, what I'm taking out of this is I just want to make sure I go to the right team. I don't have to go number one.
How do you feel about his comments regarding the Panthers' locker room being losers when he got there? Because that's where a lot of the heat's coming from, especially when you look at the rosters. And I want to bring up just some stats before you get your answer there.
Yeah.
So in 2010, for those who don't know, the NFC South ended their season as so. Falcons, top of the division, 13-3. Saints were 11-5. Buccaneers were 10-6. And way the fuck down, not even in the basement, the sewage level.
Yep.
The very worst of the NFL were the Carolina Panthers at 2-14 the year before they drafted Cam.
Yep. Oh, I know.
So, yes. And then I'm not saying you don't know, just for the people who don't know. At that point in 2010, that quarterback was, I mentioned, Jimmy Clausen.
Jimmy Clausen.
You know? Yep. And then you had
Josh
like,
Freeman in Tampa.
Yep.
You had Drew Brees in New Orleans.
Yep.
And then Atlanta had Matt Ryan.
There you go. So quarterback plays one thing. Looking at the rest of the roster, you know, Jonathan Stewart was your number one running back. Someone like Steve Smith, who Steve Smith is that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, world-renowned player.
Yep.
So you look at those guys, and there's quite a few. Even the offensive line wasn't terrible. The defense was okay. You know, but again, that division he's talking about, they got crushed. They got crushed by every fucking team they played against. So looking at someone as revered as like a Steve Smith being on that team, do you agree that Cam is right about there being a loser mentality when he first got there?
Absolutely. What the fuck? That team with Steve Smith, that team with Jonathan Stewart, that team with D'Angelo Williams, that team with, they didn't have Luke Kuechly yet, with Thomas Davis, those dudes went 2-14 with those dudes on the roster. So the all-world renowned Steve Smith, he was good for two wins. Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, they were good for two wins.
D'Angelo Williams wasn't there yet. D'Angelo Williams came in 2011 when Cam Newton got there. Jonathan Stewart was the guy.
No, D'Angelo was there.
I'm looking at the roster right now.
Ain't no fucking way.
I'm looking at the roster 2010. There is no D'Angelo Williams here. In 2011, he's the number one running back. I'm sorry, Jonathan Stewart became the backup.
You're tripping.
Am I? I'm looking right at it. Unless I'm on the wrong. Yep. I mean,
I seen D'Angelo Williams play since I was in like seventh grade.
I know. I'm just going off of what I'm looking at the roster here.
You might have to check again because I think that season, I think they both ran for like 1,000 yards each.
Mm. Let's take a look here.
And I think in 2011. Wait, what year was it? 2009 when Cam got drafted?
So he was drafted in 2011.
2011. Okay. So the year before that, 2011, 2010. Oh, he might have been injured.
I was going to say because D'Angelo Williams was on the Panthers, but he wasn't. That 2010 season, he wasn't on the roster. So he's probably injured the entire fucking year.
No, he probably played.
Let's see.
I remember he played. I know for sure he played.
Okay.
I know for sure he played, man. I know my football. I know what I'm talking about.
I'm not saying, you know. 2010 season, Williams injured his right foot during the Panthers' home win against the Niners. Okay, so week 7.
There we go.
There it is. That's why. That's weird. They don't list him at all on the roster, but he played 7 games.
Yeah, that's weird.
Weird. Okay. That's weird. You got it.
But there you go. Another Pro Bowl running back on that team. where they won only two games. So, yeah, Cam Newton was absolutely right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but after that, the Panthers went on a run they've never been on before.
Oh, yes. They improved literally every year. And I'll read some more records for you. Cam Newton's first year.
Oh, he broke the record.
He set rookie records, passing and rushing. First rookie QB to throw for 4,000 yards in the season. The first rookie to pass for 400 yards in his NFL debut. Single season record for quarterback rushing touchdowns. Most combined touchdowns for rookie in NFL history. Most combined yards for rookie in NFL history. However, the Panthers went 6-10 in 2011. Just missed out. But after that, yes, the magical run happened. And the Panthers went crazy to the top of the division and a Super Bowl run. So
they lost, but yeah, hey.
They lost. But that did show you that, like he was saying, Cam is the guy that was the game changer for them.
He really was.
It's just how it was.
And his stats weren't always pretty. Neither was his game. But he had this, if I will, Andrew Luck way about him. He had this, dare I say, Eli Manning way about him, where he just knew how to pull out some wins. He just knew what to do to win the game. And he wasn't the best passer. He wasn't the fastest dude. He was definitely one of the strongest dudes.
Oh, yeah.
But man, Cam was one of those dudes that will never get the recognition he truly deserves because we are in an era of ring culture.
Oh.
Where we discredit the players and the people who didn't win any championships because they didn't win any championships, although they were completely unguardable, a la Carmelo Anthony, just because they don't have any championships. But that does not take away from the greatness of that individual player. And guys like Cam Newton definitely deserve way more credit than what they're getting.
I can definitely see that. I mean, he's got bold takes, but it doesn't mean they're wrong takes. So I was seeing some backlash from that. Like, oh, tell me his team's losers. And I'm like,
yo, yeah, tell me where the lie was.
Right. They suck.
I don't know if people, I don't know, like maybe you didn't feel the same way I felt until I brought it up. But it's like, again, Cam Newton said it himself. That team is picking first overall for a fucking reason.
Yes.
There is something drastically wrong with that franchise. This is their prayer to get some help, to get some Jesus, to save their fucking lives.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, Bears fans know we're living through it as we speak. We're hoping Caleb is like a Cam who can turn the franchise around with his amazing quarterback play. So, yeah, the Bears were just picking one just a few years ago, and that's because they were the worst, period. I mean, Panthers were technically the worst, and then we were rewarded with that lovely draft package. But we were up there as one of the worst as well. Honestly, at least the Panthers had futures to look forward to. Bears were just in a rut for decades. So, you know, pick your poison. So, no, I agree that it's overblown because the people were focusing on the loser mentality because of Steve Smith. And I was like, yeah, Steve Smith's that motherfucker. But when I heard that clip, I was like, yeah, but they sucked as a team. It's a team sport. And the quarterback is the guy who makes the team run. So,
yeah, like
what's the problem?
Steve Smith doesn't suck individually.
No.
But as a team, they won two games.
They were horrible. They were horrible. So how many times have you seen that? Like a superstar player on a team that isn't performing well. Happens all the time.
Happens. Calvin Johnson. Fucking.
Oh, God. You know? So that's I knew that's how you would feel about it. But because it's Cam, I needed you to hear that live. Be like.
Whoa. That was the first time I heard that shit.
Somebody with some sense, please call everybody the fuck down about this.
Like we act like Steve Smith, and all due respect to Steve Smith, we act like Steve Smith was having a first team all pro season in 2010, 2009, whatever the fuck it was.
Right.
So
no.
Yeah, everyone could just eat a fucking dick and calm their tits.
Before you eat that dick though, make sure you guys go to the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, Red Note, and TikTok. You can eat a dick while you're watching us. It's fine. Just make sure we're on in the background. It might actually be pretty great soundtrack to whatever afternoon delights you're having. So see all of our content, see the TikToks that this man is putting out. We're getting some fucking fire traction. We want to keep those comments coming. Y'all keep saying things to us. We love hearing what you got to say, whether they're positive, negative, doesn't matter to us. We just love reading it and getting the feedback and accepting it and absorbing it and trying to make the show better for you guys. Do you know why that is, folks? You know why that is, because the Bank Bros are in your city, here for you as we always are, and you can bank on it. I'm not going to mention her name, but start the music.
Fuck you.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Bank Bros.
Blah, blah.